I'd like to open your Bibles with me to Psalm chapter 69. Psalm chapter 69 is where we'll be studying from this morning. Appreciate Noah leading us in those psalms and helping us praise God in that way this morning. Thank you, Noah. If you're among our guests, we're happy to have you with us this morning. Thank you for being a part of our assembly, coming and helping us worship our Lord. Our fourth Sunday is devoted to our theme for the year, and our theme for the year is Excel Still More. And today we're going to talk about excel still more in thanksgiving. Someone asked me when I told them what this was, isn't that a month ahead of time? Well, it is a month ahead of time, but there's a reason it's this time. And there's a reason hope is going to be next month. And you'll have to wait to get there to see what that's about. But this morning we're going to talk about excel still more in thanksgiving. In Psalm chapter 69 and verse 30, the psalmist will say, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. If you'll turn back to Psalm chapter 34, you'll find this expression that is used in verse 3. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. When David uses those words in Psalm chapter 34, the circumstance under which David is existing is that he is fleeing from King Saul on one side and feigning to be a madman before the king of Gath on the other side. He's trying to figure out the way to solve the circumstances that are his dilemma on his own. And then verse 3 of chapter 34, we come to the conclusion that David reaches after the journey. And the conclusion that David reaches is, I will magnify the Lord. Putting that with Psalm chapter 69 and verse 30, we find then that one way to magnify the Lord is to do so with thanksgiving. Paul will say, I will magnify the Lord in my body. He will further say to give thanksgiving to the Lord always in all things, and to offer the praise, the fruit of our lips, with thanksgiving unto the Lord. When we think about thanking God or offering God the fruit of our lips and magnifying Him with thanksgiving, there are three things I want us to think about this morning with regard to why we magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. The first of those is the need to magnify God. The need to magnify God. When we think about magnifying God, I want you to think about this with me in two different ways. Think about it from the standpoint of a microscope versus a telescope. When you put things under a microscope, you make things appear bigger than they are. When you look at things through a telescope, you see things as big as they are. We want to think about magnifying God with thanksgiving by seeing Him as big as He really is. We're not trying to magnify Him to make Him appear larger than He is, but we want to magnify the Lord to see Him as great and as large as He is. And so when David will talk about magnifying the Lord, we magnify the Lord to see how great He is. In fact, if I may borrow from Breck's thing, to see how incomparable our God really is. When we think about seeing God in His greatness, how incomparable He is, and how large God is, I think that's important because we are prone to forget God. We're prone to forget God. In fact, if you turn back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, you'll see this warning that appears over and over in this chapter. We're only going to notice a couple of verses, but I want you to see this with me. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at verse 10. When you've eaten and are full, then you bless the Lord your God for the good land which is given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. Verse 14. When your heart is lifted up and when you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. How could Israel possibly forget God in view of all that God had done for them, delivering them from Egypt. Would they forget that? No. The point is, they fail to recognize God in His greatness. We fail to remember how great and incomparable God really is. It's so easy to see something that God has done that is great in our life and think, I'll never forget that. Here's a watershed event. Here's a watershed moment. Here's something that great that God has done in our life. And yet, we turn around the very next moment, the busyness of life, the hectic pace of life, the stress of life, the obligations of life, the responsibilities. All of a sudden, God is put on the back burner. And we come to an awareness and said, I said I would never forget God again. Well, it's not we forgot there is a God. It's not we forgot God exists. It's that we fail to recognize God in His greatness and how great our God really is. God warns Israel over and over again, don't forget my God. Don't forget how great our God is. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And look what happens when we forget our God. When Paul addresses these Gentiles, in Romans chapter 1, look at what he will say beginning in verse 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Notice the first two steps to the moral degradation. They knew God, but number one, they did not glorify God. And number two, they did not thank Him. As a result, they began to worship the creature more than the Creator. They turned the truth into a lie. And their steps of degradation continue to increase more and more. Why? Because knowing God, they did not thank God. Man is prone to forget God and His greatness and how large our God really is. We become insensitive. We become busy. We become impressed with our own lives. And we become blind. We become dumb in our remembrance of how great our God is. And the psalmist will say, I will magnify the Lord. I will see Him as great as He is in our thanksgiving. It will help me maintain my sensitivity, my awareness to how great God really is. Look in the 103rd Psalm. Psalm chapter 103. And look at verses 1 and 2. Psalm chapter 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and notice, forget not all His benefits. The psalmist says the way to remember God is to remember the benefits that God has bestowed upon us or with which He has blessed us. And notice he makes this agreement. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Turn again in the Psalms. This time chapter 77. Psalm chapter 77. And look at verse 11. Psalm chapter 77, beginning in verse 11. He will say, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember the wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great as God, as our God? He said, I'll remember the works. I'll remember the wonders of old. And then ask this question to kind of stamp it with an exclamation mark. Who is as great as our God? Who is as great as our God? When we remember the works of God, when we remember the wonders of old, Paul will say, things written aforetime were written for our learning. When we look back at the wonders that God has worked among His people, God has worked in this world, remember the works of old. We magnify the God with thanksgiving. Habakkuk in the 3rd chapter. After having worked through the conundrum in the first 2 chapters about why God is doing what He's doing with the Chaldeans and Judah, He will say in verse 1, when you are through with your wrath, remember mercy. Remember mercy. Remember the mercy you had upon us when you delivered us from the land of Egypt. I want you to put a peg there on Psalm 77 because that's going to become important in just a moment. We magnify the Lord because we are prone to forget God and be blinded in our own sensitivity to how great He is. Number 2, the why we magnify God. Why do we magnify God? We magnify the Lord with thanksgiving because that then reminds us of how great the giver is. It reminds us of how great the giver is. I wonder if we get focused on the gift. The gift is great. The gift, the Son of God, the gift of grace. Great. Marvelous grace. Amazing grace we sang about. Here's the incomparable grace of God. That's the gift. But the gift is great because the giver is greater. Magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. It helps us remember how great the giver really is. It acknowledges who He is. Look at me in a psalm again. This time chapter 35. Psalm chapter 35, verses 26 and 27. Psalm 35, verses 26 and 27. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who exalt themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. Notice the problem. The problem is they're lifted up with their pride. They're lifted up with pride. They're proud because they've forgotten the wondrous works of God. And notice the declaration of the psalmist, because of their pride. Let them be ashamed and let them be brought to mutual confusion. Let them be clothed with shame and honor who exalt themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually. You see the opposite? Here are the humble. Here are the proud. God says, let the proud be shamed. But those who rejoice in my humble cause, He said, the Lord will be magnified. Because why? The Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. We magnify the Lord because it enables us to remember how great the giver is and acknowledge how great He is as the giver, because we often are lifted up with our own pride. Pride is the source of all our sins. Pride puts our will before God's will. Pride says, I worship my will rather than God's will. There's an Old Testament word for that. It's called idolatry. Idolatry is anything that comes between me and the Lord. Well, when my pride exalts me, I've become the God. I worship myself. I honor and acknowledge myself. But we're not the giver. God's the giver. Remembering to magnify God with thanksgiving acknowledges His greatness, but reminds us of our place before Him. Look again at Psalm chapter 69 and verse 30 through 31 this time. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord, notice, better than an ox or a bull which has horns and hooves. Look at Psalm chapter 50 in conjunction with that. Psalm chapter 50. Psalm chapter 50 and look at verse 9. He says, I will honor the Lord. He wants to be honored more with thanksgiving than with bulls, horns, and hooves. Notice verse 11. Psalm chapter 50, verse 11. I know all the birds, the mountains, the wild beasts of the field. If I were hungry, I would tell you, for the world is mine in all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. What are they thinking? They're thinking they can just give God more blood. And what he really wants is more sacrifice. What he really wants is more blood flowing in the street. The psalmist is saying, it's not the blood I'm interested in. The cattle are mine. The hills are mine. The birds are mine. It's not the blood I want. Look at Psalm chapter 51. And look at what he says in verse 14. For he says, you do not desire sacrifice, else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God, notice, are broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Thanksgiving helps us remember that God is the giver. It roots out pride in our heart and reminds us that we're not going to buy off the favor of God with offering Him more sacrifices. Israel thought, I'll just do God another favor. I'll give Him another bull. I'll give Him another lamb. It wasn't the bull. It wasn't the lamb that God wanted. God wanted a contrite heart. We're not going to do God a favor by putting more money in the plate. It's not the dollar God wants. It's the heart God wants. We're not going to do God a favor by partaking of more Lord's Suppers. It's the heart God wants. We come together the first day of every week because that's when we bring our heart to God to remember. Because we remember how great the giver is because of the gift. That's why we magnify Him. But third, I want to show you a way to magnify God. This time I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I told you a while ago we were going to plant a peg on Psalm 77. Go back to Psalm 77 real quick before we turn to 1 Chronicles 16. And I want to remind you of what Psalm 77 would read. Psalm 77, beginning in verse 11. He will say, I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Who is so great a God as our God? I'll remember your works. I'll remember your wonder. I will talk of your deeds. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, the writer is going to remind us of some fundamental things that we need to remember about God that will help us magnify Him with thanksgiving. First of all, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 through 9. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him the psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. First of all, we need to remember the God of history. We've read three psalms now that have reflected upon the wonders and the works of God. Remember the works of God. He says here, I will sing psalms and talk of all His wondrous works. When we have sung psalms this morning to the incomparable God, the incomparable love, the incomparable might, the incomparable power, the incomparable grace of God, what we're doing is we're telling each other of His wondrous works. We're reminding each other of the works of old and the wonder of God. And remember His works in history. But let's make that personal. We're not just remembering the works of history with Israel. We're not just remembering the works of their deliverance. We're not just remembering the works of their return from exile. I think what he's asking us to do is remember the works of God in our history. Think for a moment about your path, your walk, your history with God. Do you remember where that began? Do you remember that moment where it began? Do you see where God has brought you? Do you see what God has given you? Do we see the benefits that God has laid before us? Magnify the Lord with thanksgiving because we remember He's the God of history. And we tell of all that God has done, not of Israel, not of Judah, but all that God has done with me. All that God has done with you. Many of us did not live through the Depression era. Some of you did. The majority of us did not. Those of us who did not have no appreciation for the abundance, for the wealth, for the comfort, for the massive amount of food that we have available to us today. But I promise you, when you talk to those who came through the Great Depression, they will tell you of their history. And they will tell you about how God has brought them to this moment. Remember, He's the God of history. Second of all, I want you to see by what He says in verse 35. Verse 35. 1 Chronicles 16:35. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. He is also the God who hears. In the 34th Psalm, David will say, the Lord heard and delivered me. David said, I was in the grip of fear. I cried to the Lord. The Lord heard and the Lord delivered me. He sent His angels to deliver him. The Lord heard and the Lord delivered me. The Lord who performs these mighty works of history. The Lord heard and the Lord delivered me. Look at Psalm chapter 66. Psalms chapter 66 and look at verse 19. Psalm 66 and verse 19. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Surely God has heard me. I would remind you, the last part of 1 John 5 we talked about last week. Here's the promise of God. I promise to hear. I will hear you. Our God who is great, our God who is incomparable, our God who is mighty, our God who is the God of history, He is the God who hears and delivers us. Third, I want you to see verse 23. Verse 23, sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. He is the God who delivers. He didn't just deliver the children of Israel. He delivers me. He delivers you. He delivers us. He delivers us from sin. He delivers us into the bosom of the Lord. He delivers us into the favor of God. He is the God who delivers. Every promise He has made, He has delivered. And if every promise God has made, He has delivered up until today, then there's one promise yet to come. Will God forsake that? No, God will deliver. We magnify the God with thanksgiving because He is the God who hears and He's the God who offers salvation. Paul will say, I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. I was delivered from the power of darkness to the power of His dear Son. I was delivered into the power of His Son. We've experienced that deliverance. We've experienced that salvation. And then I want you to see verse 36. Verse 36. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. He is the God of covenant. God has made a covenant promise. He made a covenant promise with Abraham. Through your seed, all nations would be blessed. And when the time of fulfillment came, man born of woman under the law fulfilled the promise that God gave to Abraham. He is the God of covenant. He has made a covenant promise. The covenant promise through His Son. The promise that He would what? Offer salvation, deliverance to all who would come to Him. Do you remember the problem of the Gentile in Ephesians chapter 2? They're without hope, without God, without covenant, strangers from the covenant of God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been what? Made near. What? Because now we have been reconciled. Because that which separated us from God and separated you from Gentile has been torn down. And now there is one new man in Christ. That's our God. He is the God of covenant. And then I want you to see verse 25 through 26. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord God made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His place. Verse 34 then. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Notice that again. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? He is to be feared above all gods. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? For the gods of all the people are idols. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord made the heavens. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because honor and majesty are His. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? Strength and gladness are in His place. David will say, we will magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. Why? Because He is to be feared. He is above all. All the gods of the people are idols. But none are as great as our God. He is incomparable. And we don't look at Him under a microscope. We see Him as He is through the telescope. We see Him in all His greatness. One last thing out of 1 Chronicles 16. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. He is also the God who provides. Philippians 4 and verse 19. He will say, and may God supply all your needs according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He has provided everything for us that is necessary to live a godly life. He has also provided everything for us to sustain us in this life. He has given us food, clothing, shelter, family, family. He has given us everything that enables us to survive and exist and be successful in this life. And Paul says, may He supply what? Abundantly all your needs according to, not His poverty, but according to His riches. He is the God who supplies our needs. Therefore, the Lord will say, why be anxious for the morrow? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I will supply all that you need that the world worries about. I'll supply your needs and your riches abundantly. We magnify the Lord because He is the God of greatness. We magnify the Lord because He is the God of covenant. We magnify the Lord because He is the God of promise. We magnify the Lord because He is the God who delivers. We magnify the Lord because He is the God who provides. And we magnify the Lord because of His character. We magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving reminds us of how great our God is. And that He is alive. The story is told of a young girl in a hospital that was strapped down because of a spinal injury. There was a lady in the church that came to visit her. And as they visited, the little girl asked the lady that was visiting, "Would you like to play Name the Star game with me?" And the lady said, "Well, yes, I would." The little girl's bed was by a window. Night was falling, and the stars were beginning to come out. She said, "Would you like to play the star game with me?" She said, "Yes, but I don't know how to play the star game." The little girl said, "Well, I just think of the names of everyone I'm thankful for. My mother, my daddy, my brother, my sister." She said, "But there's a problem. You run out of names before you run out of stars." Will we run out of names before we run out of stars? Will we run out of ways to offer thanksgiving to God before we run out of benefits and the wonders and the works? Oh, that we would have that little girl's attitude to run out of names before we ran out of stars. Wonderful. Wonderful. Magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. If there's something we can do for you this morning to bring you closer to God, to help you walk with Him, then we invite you to come.